Hey, we're in the third week in a series called The Art of Being Unordinary. And if you've missed the last couple of weeks, let me just get you caught up. We were talking about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. He says this, verses 13 through 14. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction." And how many people enter through it? Let's say it out loud. "And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life." And how many people find it? "And only few find it." I would say that most people today, culturally speaking, are on the broad path. Their lives are not traveling the road that leads to the abundant life that God offers us. And if you remember from our first week, we talked about just the simple definition of ordinary. And ordinary, Webster's dictionary defines as of no special quality or interest, commonplace, unexceptional, plain or undistinguished, customary, usual, normal. And what we've been talking about is none of those things describe you as a follower of Jesus or you as a human being created in the image of God. And what we're discovering is that normal just isn't working. Normal, statistically, culturally speaking, is broke, in debt, relational strain all over the place, staying up at night, stressed out, all of these different things. And we're discovering normal is not working. And I think what we're seeing is that there's this incredible tension that most people feel and experience in their life, this tension between the exceptional, abundant life that God is calling us to and what many of us actually feel defines our lives. And so for a lot of us, there's this wrestling match between who God is calling us to be and the life that He is calling us to live and the reality of where we actually find ourselves traveling in life. You may be here this morning and you may look at this definition of ordinary or as we talk about these things and say, you know what, that kind of defines where I'm at right now. You may be living statistically what is normal today, where you're stressed out or you're upside down financially or you're unhappy in your most important relationships. But I've got good news for you is that God is calling you to learn the art of being unordinary. I think a major reason that most people are pulled, in fact, all people are pulled to these ordinary desires is the reality that we find in 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. He says this. He says, "For everything in the world," and he describes three things, "the lust of the flesh." Lust is literally translated passion towards something. That's this idea like I've got to have this. That's lust. I need this. I have to have this. And he says, "The lust of the flesh," that's where your lust is directed towards a person. He says, "The lust of the eyes," that's where your passion is directed towards a thing. Like, hey, I don't have that. I need that to be happy. I really want that to be happy. And then the third one, he says, "And the pride of life," that's where it's directed towards me. Like my achievements and my possessions. Look what I've done. Look how important I am. And the Bible says this about ordinary desires. It says they come not from the Father, but from the world. Now, there's this pull for all people towards these ordinary desires, and the natural result of these things is that we walk around with these feelings of unfulfillment, that things, I've got to get better than this. We walk around insecure, or we're walking around always wanting more but never getting enough. In other words, we're living an ordinary life. The good news, though, is that Scripture says this. Verse 17, it says, "The world and its desires passed away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." Here's our big idea for the series, if you're taking notes, is that if you want what everybody else have, if you want what ordinary people have, do what ordinary people do. Just do what everybody else, just go with the flow. Pick up your feet, do what everybody else does. But if you want what few people have, you've got to learn to do what few people do. You've got to be willing to do what few people do. So today, what I want to do in this morning is kind of paint a contrast between the ordinary path that most people follow and the unordinary path that exceptional people follow. And I believe that the Lord is going to speak to us powerfully today. And if you're up for that, if you're ready for the Lord to speak to you, let's go ahead and pray this morning. Well, Father, we're so grateful for you and for your work. That anytime we talk about this, it's not about all of the hard work we need to do, but more about surrendering to the work that you want to do in our lives. And so regardless of where we're coming from this morning, whether we're doing really great or whether this is a difficult season, we thank you that because of your word and the power of your Holy Spirit, you'll speak to us this morning. And we want to posture ourselves and our hearts to receive everything that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me start off with two thoughts about the ordinary path. Number one, if you're taking notes, is that it's ordinary to want what you want now, not later. We're talking about instant gratification, which is rife in this culture. It's I want what I want now, and I'm not going to wait for it. In fact, you can see a great example of this in a story that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 15. It's actually a much broader story about God and his relentless pursuit of people. But in this story, there's a younger son, and he goes to his father, Luke 15:12, and he says, I want my share of the estate when? I want it now, before you die. And we see this all the time today. This is the ordinary path that I want what I want and I want it right now. It may be that you're mad at your boss or somebody ticked you off at work and you feel overlooked. And so, man, you pound out that email and you've got it full, man. You've worded it just right and it's going to cut them down and you want vindication and you want justice and you want revenge. And so you hit send now and you regret it later. Now, why do we do that? It's because ordinary people want what they want, and they want it now. Could be a purchase that you're going to make. Instead of waiting and saving, you're going to buy it right now. Could be you're in an argument with somebody, and you go for that fatal blow, and you want to win right now, and you go for it, and immediately you regret it. Why? Because ordinary people, they do what they want it now. Number two, if you're taking notes, is that it's ordinary to trade the ultimate for the immediate. It's ordinary to trade the ultimate for the immediate. That's the greatness of the future for the immediacy of now. In fact, there's a great story that illustrates this better than any in the Bible. It's the story of Jacob and Esau. Jacob is the little brother. Esau's the older brother. And Esau in that culture had what was called the birthright. And the birthright is essentially you get a double portion of the inheritance. You get to essentially lead the family once the father dies. So it's a very important thing. And one day Esau comes home from a hunting trip. He's hungry. And you've got Jacob cooking in the kitchen. He's got some soup on. And here's what the Bible says, Genesis 25. It says, once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. And Jacob replied, first, sell me your birthright, which is like even exchange, like, I'm not sure. Verse 32, he says, look, I'm about to die. And let's just stop there. Can we acknowledge that Esau, he's not about to die? Like, you could at least live on your fat for a couple of days. I mean, he's not about to die. He's what we call hangry, right? Esau comes and the man is hangry. And so Esau goes, I'm about to die. I'm starving. And he asks a question that is the stupidest question that he could ask. He says, what good is the birthright to me? Right? I'm hungry. The birthright's not till later. What good is the birthright to me? I'm so hungry. I've got this need. I desire that bowl of stew. What good is the birthright to me right now? And Esau, the older brother, does something that is so foolish. And we can look at this story and we can say, man, who would be so short-sighted to sell their birthright for a stupid bowl of stew? And the answer is, ordinary people do it every day. Every day, people are foolish enough to trade the ultimate for the immediate, some distorted desire. And I'll tell you, I've done it, and you've done it, and we know people that have done it. You start with one step in the wrong direction. You lock into a desire that's not healthy. It goes unchecked and undealt with, and you forget about everything else that matters because the bowl of stew, man, it just sounds so good that you need it right now. It could be somebody who's like, man, the clothes I get make me feel so good. And you feel a little depressed or something happened at work or somebody ticked you off. And you're like, you know what makes me feel good? Shopping. And so you go and you buy that fresh shirt and you look nice, kind of like St. Clair back there in that sweet yellow shirt. and you're looking good, and then you're like, you know what I need to go along with this shirt is a sweet pair of shoes. And you do that, and then next week you feel a little depressed, and so you go to Amazon or you go to Poshmark and you get something really nice, and all of a sudden you're doing this more and more, and all you wake up one day and you're $37,000 in debt, and you think, how did I get here? That's not an abnormal story. How did I get here? One bowl of stew at a time. It could be a person, man, they love their spouse, they love their kids, they love their God, but the moment you're on your computer and you're one click away from something that's lustful, that's going to feed this lustful desire, and in that moment you lose focus about everybody that you love, and you focus on this pot of stew, this bowl of stew, and you trade the ultimate for the immediate, something as stupid as a bowl of stew. It could be you're on a business trip and you meet somebody and they pay attention to you. They think you're special. They tell you how good you look, and you forget about that person that's back at home waiting for you. You forget about the promise that you made, and you trade it for a stupid bowl of stew. It happens all the time. Ordinary people do it all the time. It could be somebody that loves their family. They want to be a good dad or a good mom, and they say, you know what, I'm going to love my family. I'm going to be a great provider. And so what do? They go after the pride of life, the accomplishments, and say, you know what, I'm going to give my kids what I never had. I'm going to give my kids everything that I wish that I would have had. And so you work, and you spend more time at work than you do at home, and you're so consumed with what you can do at work, and you climb the ladder, and you get that new car, and you get the new house for the kids. But you wake up one day, and you realize the kids are out of the house, and you don't even know them, and they don't know you. Why? Because you traded the ultimate for the immediate. You traded the relationship for the accomplishment, for a bowl of stew. You look at the story of Jacob and Esau, and it's easy to look at that story removed and say, who would be so foolish to do that? Who would be so foolish to trade their birthright for a bowl of stew? And I would say ordinary people do it every single day. Let me ask you, if you were going to be honest with yourself, what's your bowl of stew? What's that desire or those desires that if left unchecked or unmanaged or left outside of the direction of the Holy Spirit could take you to a place that could literally short-circuit God's long-term plan for you for something as simple as a bowl of stew? See, ordinary people, they want what they want now, not later. They're willing to trade the ultimate for the immediate, but unordinary people, let me tell you this morning, you are called to be unordinary. You are called to be extraordinary. Let me show you what extraordinary, unordinary people do. Number one is this, if you're taking notes, is unordinary people know that later is often better than now. They know that later is often better than now. Proverbs 16, verse 32 says, better to be patient, right? I can wait. I don't need it right now. I can wait. Better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control. I don't need that right now. I don't need that. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. See, unordinary people know that later is often better than now. And here's what I love about unordinary people is that they're willing to give up something that they want right now so that they can have something that they want even more later on. They're willing to wait. They've realized that there is power in waiting and doing things in God's way and in His timing. Now, I tried a little bit of an experiment this week in my home to see how we were doing. And every Friday is pizza cookie movie night at our house. And so we had pizza coming, and usually we do cookies. This time I decided to do like little Reese's peanut butter cups. And so I got all the kids into the house. I was like, guys, I've got a deal for you. And I had them sit down at their spots at the table, and I put their Reese's peanut butter cup in front of each one of them. I was like, guys, you can have it right now. Go ahead. Enjoy. But if you wait the hour and a half until after dinner, I'll give you another one on top of that. And so instead of one, you could have two. And Eli's like, I could have two? Forget that. And he takes it and puts it away. He's like, well, I'm waiting for two. Evie looks at him. She's like, yeah, I think I'm going to do that too, and waits. But little bear, the struggle was real for Bear. He picked this thing up and he's like petting it. He's like smelling it, and he puts it behind his back like maybe he won't be able to be as tempted. And then he looks at it and he starts to whimper. He's like, but Dad, I want it now. It's like, that's okay, buddy. You can have it right now. You just don't get something afterwards. He's like, how about this, Dad? How about I have one now, and then I'll have the other one later? It's like, Bear, that's not the deal. You can have it right now, or you can have two later on. And he's looking at it. He's like, fine. And he throws it down and runs outside. He's like, I'm having two later. Here's the deal, though, is I want my kids to understand that later is often better than now because it applies to almost every area of our lives. I think about financially. What's ordinary today? Ordinary is broke and in debt, regardless of economics that you're in across the board. The more money you make, the higher cost of living. Across the board, people are broken in debt. But unordinary people know that it's better to wait. It's later is often better than now when it comes to finances. It's better to budget and to save and to give generously now instead of doing what everybody else is doing. That's buying stuff that you don't need to impress people you don't like with money that you don't have, buying things that don't add any value to life. I like what Dave Ramsey says. He says, live like no one now so that later you can live like no one. So you can be crazy generous in later years. See, unordinary people understand that later is often better than now. The same is true in so many areas of our life. You think about waiting to be sexually intimate until marriage. You choose to build a foundation on purity and trust that'll pay dividends for the rest of your marriage. You think about instead of hitting the snooze button and rushing to get to work and maybe throwing a snack in, instead you wake up a little bit early. You spend time with Jesus. You refresh your soul. Maybe you do a little exercise, get your body ready. You have a good meal, and then you work hard, and then you sleep well after a great hard day. See, later is often better than now. And I realize that delayed gratification is hard. It can feel painful to wait, especially when we want something a lot. It can be painful to wait or to delay. But here's what I'd say is you get to choose your pain. Do you want the pain of discipline now or the pain of regret later? You get to choose your pain. You develop the pain or the discipline to say no so that you can enjoy later or the pain of saying yes now and regret later. You get to choose. Here's number two. Thank you, Julian. Number two, unordinary people seek God until his desires become their desires. They seek God until his desires become their desires. Here's Psalm 37:4. Maybe you've memorized this. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That word for delight is interesting. It's the Hebrew word anag, and it has a lot of different variances and nuances. I mean, most naturally, it means to enjoy or to be glad in, but it has this nuance to be soft towards something, which has both an emotional feeling like when we say, man, I just love to spend time in the presence of God. I love to worship God. I love to spend time with him in his word. So it's got that posture, but it also has this idea of coming with great humility in a way that wouldn't cause God any offense. So this means that you take great pleasure in the Lord. You experience satisfaction in him. And as you do that, it's like you are made soft and pliable as you delight yourself in the Lord. And so it's almost like if you imagine a hard piece of clay, and as you spend time in the presence of God, it's like he pours his water on you. It's like, ah, that feels good. And he pours his water on you, and you begin to be soft and pliable. And that's what God does. And so the potter forms you, the clay, into exactly what he wants. That's what happens when you seek God, when you delight in him. But the truth is that for the vast majority of people, they're not seeking anything except for a bowl of stew. And for many of us, it's time to throw the bowl of stew down, call it what it is, and where we decide, you know what? What's most important to me is that I align my desires with God's desires. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to open up his word. I'm going to get passionate about him, about his kingdom. And when we do that, the promise is that he changes us, and all of a sudden our heart is being molded to his. That his desires become our desires. Because when you desire what he desires, he gives you the desires of your heart. That you no longer desire what leads to this ordinary life. Because he's transforming your life. You're different. You're not living for what everybody else is living for. The Apostle Paul says it like this in Galatians 5. He says, So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. How many of you know if you do that, you're going to be unordinary? If you let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. He says, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. This is so powerful because when you choose to leave the normal and broad path and you get onto the narrow path that leads to life, the Holy Spirit changes your heart. All of a sudden, rather than wanting more things of this world, more empty things that don't last, I mean, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, instead of those things, you want to glorify God. You start desiring to be generous. You start desiring to forgive people. You start desiring to bless people and strangers and go the extra mile and meet all of your neighbors and bringing people to church. Why? Because God is changing your desires. And here's the problem, though, is that as you grow closer to God, as you delight yourself in the Lord, I promise you, your temptation will increase to spend your life pursuing things with no eternal significance. And if you're not prepared, you may compromise all of the blessings of what God wants to give you in the future for something as little and temporary and meaningless as a bowl of stew, just like Esau did. Now think about this. All throughout Scripture, when God reveals himself, oftentimes he says, I am the God of Abraham. If you know it, say it with me. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now who is Jacob? Was he the older brother or the younger brother? He's the younger brother. Who should it have been? It should have been Esau. Who could it have been if he wasn't so short-sighted that he traded his birthright for a bowl of stew? I mean, if Esau would have done what was right, we would have said today that we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But because of his unchecked desires, Esau traded the ultimate for something as meaningless as a simple bowl of stew. Who would do that? Ordinary people do it every day, and that's why we're not going to be ordinary. We're going to make mistakes, of course, but when we do, we're going to get back on the narrow road, the unordinary path. And so when we make a mistake, we're going to call it what it is. Then we're going to receive God's forgiveness for our lives. We're going to get back to our unordinary calling. We're going to follow Jesus. We're going to seek him. We're going to please him, and we're going to learn the art of being unordinary. Would you bow your heads with me this morning as we pray?